Mandy, good morning.
Hi, Nathaniel.
So, Mandy, can you tell us what was the aim of conducting this primary study into children's lunchboxes within schools?
The aim was to see if there was any differences between different socioeconomic areas and, you know, what our children's lunchboxes are actually looking like. Obviously, there's lots of concern about children's health when it comes to nutrition. We know obesity is on the rise, and recent research has shown that only 1 in 17 Australian children is eating their recommended amount of vegetables per day.
And well, what were some of the positives as well as confronting findings of this research?
Well, one of the most positive things which really confirms the work I do is one of the healthiest lunch boxes, which had very little packaged food, had couscous and some fresh vegetables and fruit. The actual lunchbox was prepared by the child, which shows us the importance of getting children back into the kitchen. You know, there are some kids that think food comes in packaging and they don't realize that it actually comes from nature, from the earth. And when we get when we expose children to food, preparing food, shopping for food, really understanding where it comes from, they are actually more likely to eat it.
Right. Well, were there any patterns or trends with items in lunchboxes in regarding to the demographics of the schools?
Well, what was interesting was there were a few differences. So the lower socioeconomic area did have more packaged foods and more sugar in the lunchboxes, but only slightly. And that's, I suppose, what was most surprising, how it was just slight variations and differences. Both of the schools were having white processed bread sandwiches. That was the main staple. And then some lunchboxes didn't even have the sandwich. They just had the packaged foods. In the Brighton, the school, which is from a higher demographic, they had more fruit and probably more vegetables, but just marginally. Really, the differences weren't as profound as we were expecting to see.
Well, what kind of factors were influencing children's lunches and were their daily dietary habits?
When we look at it overall, it's generally time. A lot of parents are time poor. You've got households where both parents are working and they just don't have time to prepare lunchboxes. And also, I think there's a lack of information. A lot of these single-serve kiddies food products in the supermarket shelves, people think they are healthy and nutritious, when in fact they're very high in sugar and sodium, preservatives, food colorings, and they really are the kind of foods that we need to avoid. So a lack of education in terms of what children really need at school to function. We did see that a lot of the sandwiches had processed ham, Vegemite, honey or jam. And this really does not provide these children with any protein through the day. And so, again, coming back to what were the trends were that there was a lot of fresh ingredients missing, but really, most importantly, they weren't getting any protein through their day. So that was quite concerning from a nutritional point of view.
If you're just tuning into The Daily this morning, we're chatting with paediatric nutritionist and founder of Wholesome Child, Mandy Satcher, about items included in children's school lunches. So, Mandy, what kind of tips would you give families preparing lunches in order to take a more healthy and substantial direction in their diet and well-being?
First of all, we can really simplify it in order to make it easier for parents to navigate. Having healthy staples on hand will always be, you know, really helpful when things are, you know, when you're time poor. So, for example, having whole grain bread or wholemeal bread in the fridge rather than white processed bread is going to make a big difference. Having things like eggs, cans of tuna fish, chickpeas, these are all simple ingredients, but they add a lot of fiber and protein and nutrition to the lunchbox. The other thing I always encourage parents to do is to think about multi-purpose meals. So what we're having for dinner, can that then be used for lunch the next day? We often see that processed meats, for example, are very popular in schools and in sandwiches, but they're actually not appropriate for children, so there's no safe amounts of processed meat for children. They're very high in sodium, nitrates, and nitrites. So what we want to do is try to avoid these types of meats. And an easy, simple swap is if you're having roast chicken for dinner, simply shred it up the next day, some of the leftovers, and use that in the sandwich. I even encourage parents, if they do a big roast and there is leftovers, to portion it out into little serving sizes and freeze it so that you can take it out the next day and use it as a sandwich filling. If you're having spaghetti bolognese or macaroni and cheese for dinner, or even pizza, a healthy homemade pizza hopefully, this can then be used in the lunchbox the next day. In many countries through the world, children are having warm meals, so they get proper sit-down lunches. And in Australia, there is a trend to just eat sandwiches for lunch. Problem is that a lot of these kids are having toast for breakfast, and then they're having it again for lunch. So they're just exceeding the amount of bread that they should be eating through the day.
Well, I definitely might take a few of those lunch tips on myself. Well, just one last question for you. Has there been a significant difference between the lunches of kids these days compared to, say, 10, 20 years ago?
If you look at 10, 20 years ago, there weren't all the prepackaged single serving size options. So even children were getting maybe still, you know, sandwiches, but they were getting a sandwich and an apple and, you know, maybe some popcorn, or mums maybe had more time to prepare a healthy homemade muesli bar or a muffin or a banana bread, and that was going to school. There definitely has been a rise in the amount of packaged and processed foods we're seeing in the lunchbox.
Right. Well, hopefully that's one trend we can hopefully reverse. Mandy, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Nathaniel.